Henry and June by Anais Nin. There are two ways to reach me, by way of kisses or by way of the imagination. But there's a hierarchy. The kisses alone don't work. I wondered at this last night as I closed Drake's book. I knew it would take me years to forget John Erskine because it was he who first stirred the secret source of my life. There's nothing of Drake himself in the book, I'm convinced. He hates the parts I like. It was all written objectively, consciously, and even the fantasy was carefully planned. We settle at this in the beginning of my next visit. Very good. I'm beginning to see things more clearly. I now know why I did not trust him the first day. His actions are devoid of either feeling or imagination. They are motivated by sheer habits of living and grabbing and analyzing. He's a grasshopper. He has now hopped into my life. My feeling of dislike becomes intensified. When he tries to kiss me, I evade him. At the same time, I concede to myself that he knows the technique of kissing better than anyone I've ever met. His gestures never miss their aim. No kiss ever goes astray. His hands are deft. My curiosity for sensuality is stirred. I've always been tempted by unknown pleasures. He has, like me, a sense of smell. I let him inhale me, then I slip away. Finally, I lie still on the couch, but when his desire grows, I try to escape. Too late. Then I tell him the truth, woman's troubles. That does not seem to deter him. You don't think I want that mechanical way. There are other ways. He sits up and uncovers his penis. I don't understand what he wants. He makes me get down on my knees. He offers it to my mouth. I get up as if struck by a whip. He is furious. I say to him, I told you we have different ways of doing things. I warned you I was inexperienced. I never believed it. I don't yet believe it. You can't be, with your sophisticated face and your passionateness. You're playing a trick on me. I listen to him. The analyst in me is uppermost, still on the job. He pours out stories to show me that I don't appreciate what other women do. In my head, I answer, you don't know what sensuality is, Hugo and I do. It's in us, not in your devious practices. It's in feeling and passion and love. He goes on talking. I watch him with my sophisticated face. He does not hate me because, however repulsed, however angry I am, I have a facility for forgiveness. When I see that I have let him be aroused, it seems natural to let him release his desire between my legs. I just let him out of pity. That he senses. Other women, he says, would have insulted him. He understands my pity for his ridiculous, humiliating physical necessity. I owed him that. He had revealed a new world to me. I had understood for the first time the abnormal experiences Eduardo had warned me against. Exoticism and sensuality now had another meaning for me. Nothing was spared my eyes, so that I might always remember Drake looking down at his wet handkerchief, offering me a towel, heating water on the gas stove. I tell Hugo the story partially, leaving out my activity, extracting the meaning for him and for me. Something forever finished. He accepts it. We efface an hour by passionate love, without twists, without aftertaste. When it is finished, it is not finished. We lie still in each other's arms, lulled by our love, by tenderness, sensuality in which the whole being can participate. Henry has imagination, an animal feeling for life, the greatest power of expression and the truest genius I have ever known. Our age has need of violence, he writes. And we are violence. And he is violence. Hugo admires him. At the same time, he worries. He says justly, you fall in love with people's minds. I'm going to lose you to Henry. No, 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 you won't lose me. I know how incendiary my imagination is. I'm already devoted to Henry's work, but I separate my body from my mind. I enjoy his strength, his ugly, destructive, fearless, cathartic strength. I could write a book this minute about his genius. Oh, almost every other word he utters causes an electric charge. On Buñuel's Age d'Or, on Sullivan, on Waldo Frank, on Proust, on the film Blue Angel, on people, on animalism, on Paris, on French prostitutes, on American women, on America. He is even walking ahead of Joyce. He repudiates form. Yay, he writes as we think, on various levels at once, with seeming irrelevance, seeming chaos. Oh, I have finished my new book, minus polishing. Hugo read it Sunday and was transported. It is surrealistic, lyrical. Henry says I write like a man, with tremendous clearness and conciseness. He was surprised by my book on Lawrence, although he does not like Lawrence. So intelligent, a book. It is enough. He knows I've outgrown Lawrence. I have already another book in my hand, in my head. Oh. I have transposed Drake's sexuality into another kind of interest. Men need other things besides a sexual recipient. They have to be soothed, lulled, understood, helped, encouraged, and listened to. By doing all of this tenderly and warmly, will he lit his pipe and let me alone? I watched him as if he were a bull. Besides being intelligent, he understands that my type can't be made without the illusion. He cannot bother with illusions. Okay, he's a little angry, but he'll make a story of it. He's amused because I tell him I know he doesn't love me. He thought I might really be childish enough to believe that he did. Bright kid, he says, and he tells me all his troubles. Again, the question. Do we want parties? Orgies? Hugo says definitely no. He won't take chances. It would be forcing our temperament. We don't enjoy parties. We don't enjoy drinking. We don't envy Henry his life. But I protest. One doesn't do these things lucidly. One gets drunk. Hugo doesn't want to get drunk. Neither do I. Anyway, we won't go and seek the whore or the man. If she or he comes our way inevitably, then we'll live out what we want. Meanwhile, we live satisfied with our less intense life because, of course, the intensity has died down. After the quickening of Hugo's passion, because of my entanglement with John, he has also been jealous of Henry and of Drake. He was miserable, but I've reassured him. He sees that I'm wiser, that in fact I never again intend to return into a blank wall. Run into a blank wall. getting too sensitive. Let me put this attachment on it. I really believe that if I were not a writer, not a creator, not an experimenter, I might have been a very faithful wife. I think highly of faithfulness. But my temperament belongs to the writer, not to the woman. Such a separation may seem childish, but it is possible. Subtract the overintensity, the sizzling of ideas, and you get a woman who loves perfection. And faithfulness is one of the perfections. It seems stupid and unintelligent to me now because I have bigger plans in mind. Perfection is static, and I am in full progress. The faithful wife is only one phase, one moment, one metamorphosis, one condition. I might have found a husband who loves me less exclusively, but it would not be Hugo. And whatever Hugo is composed of, I love. We deal in different values. For his faithfulness, I give him my imagination, even my talent, if you will. I've never been satisfied with our accounts, but they must stand. He will come home tonight and I will watch him. Finer than any man I know, the nearly perfect man, touchingly perfect. The hours I've spent in cafes are the only ones I call living apart from writing. My resentment grows because of the stupidity of Hugo's bank life. When I go home, I know I must go back to the banker. He smells of it. I abhor it. Poor Hugo. Everything is made right by a talk with Henry all afternoon. That mixture of intellect and emotionalism with which I like. He can be swept away completely. We talked without noticing the time until Hugo came home and we had dinner together. Henry remarked on the green, fat-bellied bottle of wine and the hissing of the slightly damp log in the fire. He thinks I must know about life because I posed for painters. The extent of my innocence would be incredible to him. How late I've awakened, and with what furor. What does it matter what Henry thinks of me? He'll know soon enough exactly what I am. He has a caricatural mind. I'll see myself in caricature. Hugo says rightly that it takes great hate to make a caricature. Henry and my friend Natasha have great hates. I do not. Everything with me is either worship or passion, worship and passion, or pity and understanding. I hate rarely, though when I hate murderously. For example, now, I hate the bank and everything connected with it. I also hate Dutch paintings, penis sucking, parties, and cold rainy weather. But I'm more preoccupied with loving. I'm absorbed by Henry, who is uncertain, self-critical, sincere. I get a tremendous and selfish pleasure out of our gift of money to him. What do I think of when I sit by the fire? To get a bunch of railroad tickets for Henry, to buy him Albertine Desperoux. Henry wants to read Albertine Desperoux. Quick, I won't be happy until he has the book. I'm an ass. Nobody likes to have these things done for them. Nobody but Eduardo. And even he, in certain moods, prefers utter indifference. I would like to give Henry a home, marvelous food, an income. If I were rich, I would not be rich very long. My legs are shaking. Yeah. Oh.